You're asking a question about living in Vrindavan and coping with the many interesting features and variations and unexpected things that happen when living here and doing bhajan. Everywhere else in the world, especially, and even everywhere else in India, things work differently. People work differently, even the material objects work differently. And in other places, if you open a window, it stays open. But in Vrindavan, you open the window, it may fall off in your hands. Because it's made so badly. Many unexpected things. You plug in the mixie to mix up something. Anywhere you just turn it on. But you turn on it in Vrindavan, but just at the moment you turned it on, there was a heavy spike of electricity, they call it. And all this smoke started coming out of your mixie. Because the smoke. Yeah, then the water taps are, because the electrical system of the building is not grounded properly. So electricity is passing through the walls, which are porous, and entering the pipes and going, everyone giving them a nice shock. And if you have wet feet, it can be the last, most shocking experience of your life, because it will be no more alive. It's extremely dangerous. So obviously, you have to be careful and wear chapels all the time. Yeah, there's a lot of hidden dangers here. So once Sannyasi had an ashram and many devotees came to stay with him, and some of those devotees in the ashram, they got sick. And they were lying and they were sick and they were taking medicine and slowly getting better. And they were, the brahmacharis in the ashram, they were discussing among themselves that, oh, this is very difficult living here in Vrindavan. And the climate is so cold and so hot and so wet and so damp and humid, and so many complaints they were having. And they were suffering also because they were sick. They had typhoid, malaria. So then the Guruji, he was coming around, visiting them, and he asked, how is everything? And he was taking care of them. And they said, Oh, Gurudev, we, you know, we're suffering, and we have fever, and it's very difficult. We don't feel very well. Some of us are quite sick. So I know you're sick, but you're taking medicine. So then the guru said, listen, I want to tell all of you in the ashram that there may be some, you may be suffering, maybe sick, or some diseases may come and go. Or you may have some mental agitation or some suffering while you're staying here in the ashram. But the Guruji told those brahmacharis in the ashram, he said, you should remember that where are we sitting here in this ashram? We're in Vrindavan. You and I and all the brahmacharis and I together, we're in this ashram and we're all living in the holy dham of Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna's Leela Bhumi, the most sanctified and beautiful and amazingly magical and mysteriously powerful spiritual place in the world, in the universe. So then the Gurudev told those devotees who were suffering from disease or whatnot, he said, this is whatever difficulty you're experiencing or whatever hardship you're facing in your sickness or disease, it's a very small price to pay for the great fortune, the great wealth, the great gift that you've received of being able to live in Vrindavan and do bhajan. So this is the point, that's the first point or the first recommendation, how to live in Vrindavan. Remember how it's such a great privilege and such a great fortune. And that oh, I may suffer. So my suffering, it's like someone says, imagine, it's inconceivable. Someone says to you, you give me one rupee, I will give you 1 crore. Wow, that's a good deal. Here's 2 rupees. or 3 rupees. Now, where's my 3 crores? Okay. So this is the story that the guru was telling his brahmacharis. Listen, you're suffering. You have typhoid. You have malaria. You have whatever you have. You're missing your mother. You're missing your father. You're homesick. Your mind is hurting. These are the brahmacharis in the ashram in Vrindavan. And Guruji is consoling them and comforting them and trying to explain to them. It's called yukti. Yukti means logic. Try to understand. He said, okay, you're suffering, and so you're paying. You're paying with your suffering. But what you're gaining, what you're suffering is a small price. Is a small price to pay for what you're gaining. Because your destiny, mine and yours and everyone's destiny, is to enjoy or to suffer wherever we are. Whether we're in Vrindavan, or we're in Moscow, or we're in New York City, wherever we are, or in wherever, or Hyderabad, we'll enjoy there or we'll suffer there. So we can't blame our karma fall on the Dham. But we should always, I'm in the Dham. I'm dying in the Dham. I'm sick in the Dham. I'm completely agitated in the Dham. I'm completely lusty in the Dham. I'm completely greedy in the Dham. That Dham, that is the Kripa Shakti of the Lord, that is the Prem Sarupa of Radha and Krishna. That somehow Krishna said, yes, you come here, and now I will cook you. You are potatoes, and I'm a frying pan. And I'll put you in a frying pan, and I'll cook you. So the potatoes are the devotees in Vrindavan, and the frying pan is Vrindavan, and the cook is Krishna. So he's cooking nicely. Sometimes he makes our life very hot. Very hot, burning hot. Figuratively and literally, it's too hot. Or my brain gets too hot, overheated. And sometimes our life in Vrindavan becomes very spicy. Because chunk, you know, Krishna threw in the spices and the potatoes. And sometimes our life in Vrindavan becomes very slippery. We start slipping. We're following and then we're slipping, we're sliding. What's happening? That's because Krishna, the cookie, starts throwing some ghee and oil inside with the potatoes. So now the potatoes are sliding around in the pan. So we are the potato. And we're being cooked by the master cook, the master chef, Sri Krishna. But when he's done, when Krishna is done cooking us, then he offers us to Radharani. Oh, how tasty we will be. How delicious. How satisfying. The flavor, the aroma, the flavor, the taste, the sensation, the experience, the result, the benefit, the happiness, the joy of that experience of being relished and enjoyed by Radharani, that cancels all the suffering and misery and difficulty or anything we face in our sojourn to perfection while living in Braj. So the two points, remember the great fortune and tolerate. We read Gita. If we're smart, we memorize a few verses here and there. We read Bhagavatam. We learn a few fancy Sanskrit words. Tatiksha Vakurunika, Srida Sarvadehina, Kapila Shiksha in the third canto. Matra sparsha stukonteya shitoshna shukadukada agama payonitas tams the tiksha shabharata. Oh, 26 qualities of devotee. Number 17 is tolerance. Then, the qualities of Brahman. I'm a pakka Brahman. See, I'm Brahman now. Samodamastapashacham shantir arjum evacha gyanamagyanamastikyam brahmakarma sabhavajam. 18th chapter of Gita, the lakshana of the Brahman. Again, tolerance. Shantir means tolerance. Kantir. I read about tolerance. I memorize verses on tolerance. I preach about tolerance. But I am absolutely intolerant. I am being controlled by the impulse of my ego. So this tiny Atma that wants Krishna is squelched by the force of that intolerant ego. Demanding. I need this, I want this, I have to have this. So therefore, Vrindavan is a place where forget the verses, forget the Sanskrit. You'll learn tolerance. Krishna will teach tolerance. This is the backbone of bhakti, tolerance. So these are the two qualities to remember and cultivate when living in Vrindavan, or how to live in Vrindavan, or how to reside in Vrindavan. Never forget where we are, and never forget how we got here. We didn't buy our way here. We didn't buy a ticket here. We didn't get a visa here. We are allowed to come here by the mercy of Radharani. We are allowed to come here by the mercy of Krishna. The king of Vrindavan, half of Vrindavan, the king is Vrishabhanu. And the other half of Vrindavan, the king is Nanda Baba. Anyone comes in the kingdom that's not wanted by the king, they're out. Persona non grata. This is a Spanish term. Persona non grata means the person is not welcome. Welcome. Swagatam. Because we have now our geo systems and our Google big eye brother looking at everyone. But even 5,000 years ago, the kings have spies and they have messengers, duties. And they're moving all around the kingdom and coming back and reporting to the ministers, and the ministers are reporting to Nanda Baba and Vrishabhanu Maharaj. They say, oh, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, I was just in Vrindavan, Ramamriti. One Russian has come there. Acha? What does he look like? Oh, he's like 7 feet tall and like this. You know, he's quite tall. And Acha, what's he doing? Oh, he's looking at girls here and there. Acha? Oh, nonsense. Okay, drive him out. So then out. No, give him one girl, drive him out. That way, if you just drive him out, he may come back. But if you give him one girl and drive him out, he'll never come back. Brahmachari, keep hanging there. This is Krishna. So we remember that. So, oh, what a great fortune. We say in English, count your blessings. It's like, oh. Because, oh, I'm this, I'm that. Because ego always... Tolerance and humility is always being challenged. Tolerance and humility is every second being challenged by ego until the ego is finally defeated at the level of prema bhakti. So this is Vrindavan as a place of tolerance and humility. Practically they're synonymous. One will bring the other. If you're not tolerant, you'll be broken into tolerance, and that breaking you into tolerance will make you humble. Even if you don't want to be. If Radharani lets you stay here, and Krishna lets you stay here, even if you don't want to be humble or tolerant, this what we say in English, this is a hard nut to crack. You have some nut inside a shell, and it's like, some of those nuts, you need a hammer. Like a coconut. You know, a walnut or something, maybe you can go, you know, a crow and crack it. You can do that with a coconut? You can do it if you're a monkey. I mean a gorilla type. A gorilla, big monkey, like those big ones, they take the coconut and they go like, and break it. Throw it. It's a gorilla. So, Krishna, if he lets us stay, he may want to crack this nut. No, Radharani, let's make him stay. He's not being humble, he's not being tolerant. Let's really get it to him. So, ta, 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 ta. And then finally, hey Bhagavan, Sharanagati Prabhu, Sharanagati, Sharanagati, I surrender, I surrender. And the day we really surrender is the day we enter the path of bhakti. Until then, we're trying to find it. Hey, does anyone know where, you know, Highway 101 is? Yeah, you go 5 blocks that way and you go 2 kilometers that way. Okay, that guy didn't know what he's doing. Where is the entrance ramp to the, you know, the freeway, you know, the road? So this is Vrindavan. If you come and you don't have much bhakti, you'll get a lot of bhakti or you're out. You can't stay. You can't pass the time in Vrindavan. If you're aspiring, if you just want to live here and do business and enjoy, if Krishna lets you do that, fine. You'll do that for one life, and where you go, we don't know. But if you come here with basic, serious, and sincere desire to serve Krishna and Radha, then you're enrolled in Krishna's school of mercy. Your sincerity enrolls you in Krishna's school of mercy in Vrindavan. So now he's watching. There's that verse in the Rig Veda that Prabhupada often quoted. He says that Chakshuratatam, says that Krishna's eye is like the sun. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the sun is my eye and the moon is my eye. Mm-hmm. In the daytime, Krishna sees with the sun, the nighttime with his eye. So that like the sun is in the sky, illuminating the earth and shining on the planet and giving us visibility, that eye, Chakshuratatam. So he says that the sun is in the sky, so Krishna's eye, so his eye is always watching over us, like the sun planet. So in Krishna's school of mercy in Vrindavan, then Krishna is personally looking at us and personally arranging for us. And as we stay in Vrindavan and try sincerely to serve Radha and Krishna, we start to realize more and more the personal presence of Radha and Krishna in our lives. In the beginning, they're famous Thakurjis and deities, Radha Damodar, Radha Raman, Radha Shamsundar, whatever, Radha Govindaji. And then we have our own Thakurji, Giriraj, whomever, Radha and Krishna. But then as we go on and on in Vrindavan, we start to perceive the personal presence of Radha and Krishna. And see how they're actually, and this is if you're Nishtha in Vrindavan, I mean, for a long time, then you start to see how, wow, they're doing this. They're actually, Radha and Krishna have so much care for, so much care and concern and interest in little old me. What do we say in America? Little old me. In other words, insignificant person that I may be, or I certainly am. In the eyes of totality, and in the scope of totality, or the vast, unlimited universes, what is one jiva? What is one jiva to Mahavishnu? Whole universes emanate from his pores of his body, like a drop of sweat. And inside the sweat, there are millions of planets, and inside that one drop of sweat, it's called Shvetadvip. One drop of that sweat is one universe, and inside that universe, millions of planets and zillions of jivas. Now, one of those jivas is in Vrindavan, and one of those jivas is being looked after by Krishna. So, to realize that and to perceive that and feel that is the most amazing type of enlightenment in itself. It's not Sakshat Darshan, it's not Spurti. It's not Vispurti, it's not Bhava Bhakti, it's not Asakti. It's the most amazing experience. It's a type of enlightenment where you feel the direct hand, and in your heart, you feel the touch of Radha and Krishna. She's doing this. Everywhere in the universe, Krishna's ears are there. There are ears for everyone. Ears to hear anyone's prayers. All prayers are heard by God. But here in Brajadam, the ears of God are here in the form of Krishna. Madhurya Purushottam. Lila Maya, Rasaraj Sri Krishna. And Mahabhavati Radharani. Their ears are here. This is their place. In Gita, Krishna is speaking the same verse in Gita that's also from the Upanishads itself. Sarvato panipadam tat sarvato kshisharomakam sarvam shrutimaloke aloka avritam tishtati. So Krishna says that I'm situated in this world everywhere. Sarvato panipadam. Pani means hand. Everywhere my hands, everywhere my legs, everywhere my faces. Mukha, shira, we say, you know, shirasan. Sarvatok shi sharomakam, shir, no shir. Shir means mustak. Mustak means head. And my face, my head. And my ak means aksh, chakshu dhanadilye, my eye. That's everywhere. In every place. But in Vrindavan, it's Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the ears of Govindaji, Gopinath, Radha Raman. and Radharani. And as one moves closer and closer to Radha and Krishna in the holy Dhamma Vrindavan, he sees how the Brijvasis move closer and closer to him, and the Radha and Krishna are moving closer and closer to him. This is his experience. This will be the experience of the devotees living here. And it overtakes one in a very amazing and deep way. So this is some ideas about living in Vrindavan.